Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All righty, well, good morning and welcome to Life Change Church, where we are in the middle of a series entitled Jesus Said. In fact, we're actually going to be completing that series today. So it's been an incredible series where we're jumping in and we're looking at some of the powerful words of Jesus. And really, Jesus said some incredible things. And really, we're just getting started. So this is a five-week series, but I would challenge you to go back and I would challenge you to read through the Gospels, read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus and the story of his ministry. There's some incredible things that Jesus said. And again, we're only looking at five things, but Jesus said some amazing stuff. And he used his words in an incredible way because he knew the power of words. He spoke life. He spoke transformation because he knew that words change lives. And Jesus' words changed lives more than anybody throughout all of history. Jesus knew the power of words. And he said some pretty encouraging things, but he also said some things that were really hard to take. He said some things that really cut to the core of who we are. Right? He said some things that leave us with a choice, that leave us with an action plan to take. Right? He said some things that really stir us into action. And all his words all work together. Right? He was perfect. He was perfect in everything he did, but he was perfect in everything he said. So much so that each one of his words were connected together. If you remember last week, we talked about how Jesus told us not to worry. He said, do not worry. And for many of us, that's a weird thing to hear. But it sounds almost too good to be true because we are worriers. But he said that because he understood. He understood what he was doing. He understood what his other words meant. He understood that when he said, it is finished, that we no longer have to worry because it is finished. The separation between us and God is finished. He understood that we don't need to worry. And he also said, poke your eye out, which means that we actually have to deal with the source. We have to deal with some sin in our problem so that it doesn't creep up on us, so it doesn't come back, so it doesn't linger in our lives, right? They all connected together. And to follow them, he said, to put your hand to the plow and to go all in. Like Jesus said some powerful things, and he used his words better than anyone throughout history. And he used his words to change our way of thinking. In fact, he used his words to flip our normal way of thinking completely upside down, which is what we're going to look at today in a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. So if you have your Bibles, go there with me. If you don't have a Bible, we always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. And listen, it's okay to put the Bible on your phone because the whole point of a Bible is to read it. So you want to put it somewhere where you're going to see it every single day. So we challenge you to put the Bible app on your phone. There's actually reading plans. There's devotions. There's different versions of the Bible that you can get. Just an incredible resource to have with you wherever you go. And even so much so on our social media account, we throw out reading plans that you can follow along with throughout the week as well. But in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is preaching, and he's preaching from his most famous sermon, known as the Sermon on the Mount. And again, we dug into a portion of this sermon last week. But Jesus was saying some incredible things in the sermon. In fact, this is where the Beatitudes came from. Right now, we have a men's group that's studying the Beatitude. They're jumping in, and they're looking at what Jesus said through that. We also have other groups, so time out. Shameless plug for life groups. If you're not in a life group right now, I would challenge you to jump in a life group. It's a great way to connect with others. It's a great way to connect with God, and it's a great way to even connect with what Jesus said by learning what Jesus is saying to others. So, shameless plug, life groups, sign up today. There's still time to jump in. But back to Jesus. Here he is, and he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving us some groundwork for all of our life. He's giving us some foundations, and he even gives us some foundations for our relationships as well. So, check this out. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 48. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is saying to love your enemies. Like, this changes our normal way of thinking. He says to love your enemies. He says to pray for those that persecute you, to pray for those that are opposed to you, to pray for those that are against you, right? To care for those who do not care for you. He says to love your enemy. And again, this changes their regular way of thinking. In fact, the Pharisees, they depicted scriptures and they talked about how he says we're supposed to hate our enemies. But Jesus gets back to the point and he says this. He says we're supposed to love our enemies. And here's why. It's because God cares for them. It's because God loves them. It's because no matter who that person is, they're still a child of God. Listen, you may not agree with them. You may not agree with their lifestyle. You may not agree with their choices. You may not agree with their actions. You may not agree with their political party. You may not agree with whatever. I mean, we can get down and we can pick apart anything. And we may not agree with them, but guess what? We're still supposed to love them. They're still children of God. And if we call ourselves a Christian, if we say that we want to live like Jesus, we need to listen to his words. We need to love them. We need to love those that are opposed to us. We need to love our enemies. See, the word Christian means to be Christ-like. So if we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves a follower of Christ, if we have a desire to follow Christ, we have to follow his example. And we have to love our enemies. We have to love people. Again, as a church, this is really our battle cry. Right? This is why we exist. This is our complete purpose. We started from day one and said this. We exist to love people to life change. We exist to love people. And listen, there's no adjective before the word people, right? There's no classification of people. It's just people, right? We're supposed to love people, all people, not just people we agree with, not with people that just fall into our social economical circles, right? But all people. Jesus said to love even our enemies, even people we may dislike, right? Even people we may think are wrong. And one easy way to do this is to remember this, is to remember that God created that person. God created that person that you're against. God created that person that may be even against you. It says this, it says he still causes the sun to rise for them. He causes the sun to rise for him just like he does for you. Just like he does for me. So this still causes the rain to fall on them. Just like he does for you and for me. He still created them. God created that person that you disagree with. God created that person that you may even dislike. And he loves them all the same. And we're called to do that. We're called to love our enemy. Jesus said, love your enemy. Jesus said, love that person that maybe you're hating right now. Love that person that you dislike, right? Because he does. He loves that person, and we're called to do the same. So here's what I want us to walk away with today. Here's our big takeaway. When Jesus said, love your enemy, this is what I want us to walk away with, and this is what I want us to get. Loving Jesus means we learn to love those we don't want to love. Loving Jesus means we learn to love those we don't want to love. And let's just be honest right now. Let's just forget we're in church and let's like put our walls down and you know how we come to church and everything's happy. Hey, oh, great to meet you. I'm having a great week, right? I love everybody. No, let's just strip those down for a second and let's get real. There's some people in our lives that are hard to love. There's some people in our lives that we dislike. In fact, you have a name going through your head right now. You have somebody at your work, your boss is going through your head right now. You have somebody in your family, right? There's an in-law, outlaw, whatever you call them. They're going through your head right now, right? Because it's hard sometimes. It's hard to love people sometimes. Sometimes we just don't get along with people, right? Raise your hand if you ever come across a person that it's hard to get along with or you don't get along with, right? Okay, everybody's hands should be up. I said this in first service. If your hand wasn't up, guess what? You are that person, so just want to throw that out there for you. But the truth is, relationships are hard. Life with others is hard because people are messy. Life is messy. We are messy. But you know what's crazy is that we tend to flock to people with messes that are similar to ours. Right? We tend to flock to people with people who have struggles similar to ours. We have our own little circles and be like, man, you struggle with that? Cool, hang out with me, right? Oh, man, your life's a mess like that? Listen. Oh, yeah, come hang out. This is why you see young families hang out together. Like, dude, I'll go over to your house. It doesn't matter because I know it's a mess because it looks like mine because we have kids that are under five, right? I'm going to hang out with you. There's just a judgment-free zone when people are struggling with the same thing. And I think we tend to do that. But what we also tend to do is we hang out with people who struggle like us. We hang out with people who have the same messes with us. And then all of a sudden what we do is we look at other people who have a mess that's different than us, who have a struggle with something that's different than us, and then sometimes we become judgmental towards them. Right? We look at them and say, man, I can't believe they struggle with that, right? But what we're doing is we're forgetting about what we're sitting in with our mess with everybody around us. But we look at them like, oh, man, I can't believe that they would do that. Man, how do they do that? Like, I can't believe that. No, and sometimes I think we do this because life is messy. And the truth is we flock to people who are similar to us. I mean, even if you strip it down even more so, like even in just relationships, you tend to hang out with people you have something in common with. It just makes sense. You go, and even if you were meeting somebody, what do? You search for that common ground. Now, listen, I've shared this before, I'm a little socially awkward. The first time I meet you, I'm kind of crazy. I'm a little bit different. And for me, I'm like, okay, I'm trying to find some type of common ground with you here. We're going to find this. And for me, like, cycling is one of those things. Like, I like to road bike. I like to cycle. So, man, if I find somebody that talks about that, I can nerd out and I can talk to them for, like, hours. Like, just go through. We talk about all these things. But it's kind of a small group of people. So, really, like, there's only certain people. But actually, one of our, even as a church here, we got insurance on the church, and I was looking for insurance here. And I was just looking for some great rates. I was looking for some great coverage, and ended up finding out that this guy cycled. So we ended up becoming friends with the insurance agent just based on this common ground, because that's what happens, right? We find these common grounds. But at the same time, when there's no common ground, when there's differences, it causes tension. Now, some of you guys are thinking, like, dude, this is a weird church. He just said that he cycles. And all that can go through your head right now is thinking, like, he probably obviously doesn't want any more kids because there's no way you could ride on the seat for that long and think that, right? And then some of you guys are thinking, okay, wait a second. If he cycles, cycle people wear those shoes that click-clack. Cycle people wear spandex, right? Oh, no, he wears spandex. And some of you guys all of a sudden pictured that, and now you resent me because that picture is in your head. Listen, it won't go away. I'm sorry about that. But the truth is, it's easy to like people like us, right? At the same time, though, it's easy to dislike people who are different than us. And oftentimes, I think our differences cause dislike. Oftentimes, our differences, they lead to questioning. Oftentimes, our differences, they lead to judgment. They lead to disgust. They lead to really this hatred. And it ends up people become our enemies because of differences, right? Differences lead to disagreements. Differences lead to arguments. Differences lead to hurtful words, to hurtful actions, right? And even to opposing sides, and then eventually to enemies. And a lot of times, what that does is that destroys relationships, right? It leads to enemies. Listen, sometimes it can be fun. It can all be in jest, right? I mean, like the Buckeye fans versus the Michigan fans, the Red Sox versus the Yankees fans, left Twix versus right Twix. Let's just put a serious one out here, the over-the-top toilet paper rollers and the under one, right? I mean, that's a little, it gets a little more serious. And then obviously you have the big ones, right? You have like the political parties, the right-wing conservatives versus the left-wing liberals, right? They would get intense. But what happens is there's some differences. But what happens too many times in our differences, we allow it to destroy us because we never put love in the equation. Again, it's really easy to love people who are lovable. It's really easy to care for people that fit into our nice, neat little box, nice, neat little profile that we have about ourselves. It's easy to get along with those people, right? It's easy to stay with people who stay within our narrative. But it starts to get a little uncomfortable when we love people who don't fit into our box. It starts to get a little uncomfortable when we have to love people who are outside of our narrative, who are outside of our story. And this is exactly what Jesus is telling us to do, though. He's saying, step outside of yourself and love your enemies. Love those that are different than you. Love those that oppose you. Love those that you may have even been opposed to at one time. And really, how we show them our love is how we show our love for Jesus. Listen, I didn't even do an altar call, and it's already here. God is here. Come on. Running. But listen, loving Jesus means we learn to love those we don't want to love. And to do this, it means that for some of us, we need to move from judgment to forgiveness. We need to move from apathy to empathy, right? We need to put ourselves in other people's shoes. We need to seek to understand more than just to be understood. And hear me out. When I say this, hear me out. This isn't condoning sin, right? This isn't changing our stance on sin issues. This isn't abandoning the truth. but it's showing grace and it's showing mercy in the midst of it. It's being what Jesus was. It's following his example. It's representing who Christ was. Jesus was full of grace. He was full of mercy. But at the same time, he was full of truth. Listen, he came to die on a cross for each and every one of us, not to condone us of our sins, but to forgive us of our sins and to make us perfect in his eyes. Right? He raised from the dead, not just to keep us from the truth, but to actually set us free and to redeem us in the truth. Our salvation is based on his love. And we have to model him. We have to model him that. We have to love like him. Loving Jesus means we learn to love those we don't want to love. Jesus said it this way in one of the parables in Matthew 25:40. It says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. How we love others displays our love for God. Whatever we do for the least, whatever we do that for the least of those in our minds is really how we're treating God, how we're treating Jesus. Our love for others, no matter who they are, shows our love for God. And Jesus said, love your enemies. And again, this isn't natural. This changes everything, right? This flips the normal way of thinking upside down. Because there's a reason that people are our enemies, right? There's a reason. There's something, there's a reason because obviously maybe they did something that led to hurt. They may have hurt us in the past. They may have caused some type of pain for us, right? There may be some disagreements that we had that causes them to be our enemies, right? There's some type of divide that's present, right? There's something that there is that just simply makes them hard to love. There's things that people have done that have made them our enemy. But Jesus says, you know what? No matter what, we're still supposed to love them. There's some things that we've done to Jesus. There's some things that we've done in our life that really make us hard to love. But guess what? He died on a cross because he loved us so much. And we're called to do the same. I think too many times we fall into this category. We don't love our enemies. We carry this hatred. We carry this disgust, this dislike. And when we do this, what happens is that relationship gap, it expands and expands and expands. Right? It grows and grows. And that expanse, in that space, what it does is it allows room for unforgiveness to fester. It allows room for things to go unresolved. It allows rooms for hurt and pain to continue to grow and grow and grow and build itself, right? All because naturally we don't want to love our enemies. But Jesus doesn't want us to live in that space. He doesn't want us to live in that space of unresolved. He doesn't want us to live in that space of unforgiveness. So he says, love your enemies. Because he knows that love overcomes that. He knows that love fills that gap. Love conquers all. Love conquers that unforgiveness. Love defeats that hatred. Love removes that hurt. And what it does is it causes growth. It causes maturity in our lives. In fact, I would say this. I would say sometimes God puts those relationships, God puts those tense moments, God puts those people or those people groups in our life who we think are enemies, he puts them in our life on purpose. To grow us, to mature us, and really so that we can experience his love. We can experience the vastness of the love that he's given us. I think sometimes what we call persecution is really, God looks at it and he calls pruning. He's just building us up. Sometimes I think what we call hurt and pain, what it really is I think God's just sharpening us. Right? There's what we call brokenness, I think God just calls rebuilding. God calls restoring. God calls a remaking, creating you into what we were designed to be. And God uses people for that. He uses all kinds of people, even the people that are different than us, even the people that we dislike, even our enemies. Right now, if you think about it, what if God is just pruning you in your life, in those hard relationships, in those people that you dislike? What if God is using that? What if he's using those people to develop you? I think when someone's out to hurt you, guess what? God's somewhere in the middle of it trying to teach you something. So imagine, instead of being hurt, what if we grew? What if we responded by acting more like Christ? Right? Imagine the reward we would get. It'd be a reward that goes beyond just what pagans get, but it would be a heavenly reward. Again, if you go back to verse 46, it says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? But then it says, be perfect. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The reward is perfection. Perfection through him. The reward is righteousness. Being made right through Christ. It's peace. It's calmness in all those relationships. And it happens from loving your enemies. It starts by showing our love for Christ by how we love others. Loving Jesus means we learn to love those we don't want to love. And to love our enemies and to love those we don't want to love, this is what we have to do. It starts by praying for them. It starts by praying for your enemies. And here's why. Praying changes our hearts, right? Praying changes our attitudes. Because what we're doing is we're placing God in the equation. We're placing God first even in that equation, right? Jesus urges us to love our enemies, not out of our own will, but out of his will, because he loves them. And to do that, we have to get a heart and the mind of God. So it starts with prayer. So pray for your enemies. And I say pray for them, I mean pray for good things. Listen, I think a lot of us are like, dude, I'll pray for my enemy. I surely will. I've got a whole list of things I want them to experience that I'll pray for. Could look like some of these things, right? Like, we'll pray for our enemy to have mosquito bites in between their toes. We'll pray for him to have a disposition to hit reply all. We all know that guy in the office. Nobody likes him, so we'll pray for our enemies to become that person, right? Okay, these are obviously a joke. We probably never prayed like any of these before for any of our enemies. But I think for many of us, it's easy. We'll say we'll pray for our enemies, but we want to pray for them, and we want to pray for them to experience negative things. We want to pray for them to become negative things, but that's not what God's saying. God's saying change the way you pray for them. Pray for them to experience good things. Pray for them to be blessed. Pray for them to experience the goodness of God. Pray for them for ways for maybe even you to show them who God is, to show them the goodness of God. Pray for ways for maybe how you can even connect with them. I pray for God to open up some common ground between you and them. And listen, if there's some unforgiveness there, maybe in that relationship, maybe you need to start praying for yourself. Maybe you need to start praying for God to reveal how you can show forgiveness. But pray for him. Pray for that. Again, Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, he said, pray for those who persecute you. Luke's version of the statement says, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who hurt you. Listen, this is hard. This is tough. Because there's some things that people have done, you're like, man, how can I ever pray for them? But Jesus says, pray for them. Pray for those that persecute you. Pray for those that hurt you. Who's that person in your life right now? Who's that person in your life right now that's hard to love? Who's that person in your life right now that's different than you? Who's that person in your past that's maybe mistreated you, that maybe hurt you because of some differences? And how can you pray for them, right? How can you pray for that person that hurt you? Listen, I want to challenge you to pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for them to experience good things. Pray for them to pray for their forgiveness and pray for their repentance as well. I think a lot of times it's easy to get stuck in our prayer life, regardless of who you're praying for, or who you're praying for, but especially if you're praying for your enemies. So sometimes when I get stuck in my prayer life, listen, what I'll do as I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. There's some times where I'll just go back and I'll find a book where there's prayers written out and I'll just read scripted prayers. It kind of gets me flowing, kind of gets me started, and then I can take off from there. I'll challenge you to do the same thing. And listen, if you're stuck right now, if you're stuck in your prayer life, and if you're at a point where you think, man, like, how can I pray for my enemies? What do I even pray for them for? Write a couple notes. Say, you know what? Pray for their forgiveness. Pray for their salvation and pray for their repentance. Those are three things. So you can just say, pray, enter whoever's person name is. I pray for blank. I pray for their salvation, right? I pray for their repentance. I pray for their forgiveness. Pray that over each and every single day. Pretty soon your heart will start to change toward them. Pretty soon you'll start to see them how God sees them. Pretty soon you'll start to love them. So pray for your enemies. Number two is learn from your enemies. Learn from your enemies. Sometimes those that are opposed to us, sometimes those that are different than us, sometimes our enemies really can give us a gift that our friends can't. They can give us the gift of telling us the truth. They can give us the gift of telling us the truth that's almost too hard for sometimes our friends. Right? I call it the last 10%. And the last 10% are those hard truths where you can sugarcoat that first 90, but you know there's some things, there's some issues that your friend or somebody that you're walking with is struggling with. And it's that last 10%, and you give it to them, and you don't know. It could ruin everything, right? So a lot of times as friends, we don't do that. But what's great about enemies is they're willing to give that last 10% first. And I think we can learn from that, right? Our enemies will give that first, and I think there's still truth to that. And it may hurt. Listen, it may hurt, but you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to learn. A lot of times I would say this too, when our enemies give us that last 10% first, it may be over-exaggerated, so you may need to take it with a grain of salt, but still, take it and learn from it, right? We can learn from our enemies. And the best way to have a learning heart is to have an empathetic heart. The best way to have a learning heart is to have an empathetic heart. Empathize instead of criticize. Like too many times in our life, what we do with our enemies, what we do to those against us, what we do to those opposed to us, we just criticize them. We critique, we judge, we go through, we do everything to their lifestyle, but we've never even thought about walking in their shoes for a second. Criticize, instead of criticizing, empathize with them, right? It goes back to the old proverb, never criticize a man until you walked a mile in his moccasins. And when we have empathy, when we're able to empathize with others, what it does is it allows us to see more clearly. It opens us up to true perspective. And it gives us an opportunity to learn, even from our enemies. Instead of asking God, why me? What if we're in this relationship, when a person hurts us, what if we ask, why them? God, what are you trying to show me through them? God, what are they going through that I can learn about myself, right? What are you trying to teach me about me in this circumstance, in this situation? What are you trying to teach me about me in this moment? See, the truth is when we empathize, it allows us to get a perspective, and we can look at it, and we can see that the big picture, that our fight is not against this person or that person, right? They're not our real enemy. The real enemy is Satan. Satan's out to seek, kill, and destroy, and he uses every method, including others, to do it. Ephesians 6:12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So instead of falling for Satan's tactics, let's learn from it, right? And the more we're willing to learn, the more we're willing to learn from those opposed to us, the more we're willing to learn from those against us, the more we're going to have appreciation for them. And the more we'll stand up against Satan. The more we love our enemy, the more we'll actually defuse our real enemy. What's something you can learn from those opposed to you? What's that last 10% that they're giving first that you may actually need to listen to? Right? What are those hard truths? What are those hard truths that you need to learn about yourself from your enemy, from that person who's opposed to you? And then what are you going to do about it? The real question is, what are you going to do about it? Listen, for some of us, maybe it's a change in attitude. Maybe it's a change in really the way we think. Maybe it's a change in the way we treat people. Listen, if your enemy's at work, maybe it's your boss and you think, man, they're out to get you. What if you actually empathize them? What if you looked at scenes, man, what is God teaching me? Maybe God's teaching you how to follow authority better because he's an authority of your life. Maybe he's teaching you, you know what? This is how you live. This is how you walk things out. And then this is how blessing comes, right? Maybe God's teaching you certain things from that. Listen, live it out. Be willing to listen. Maybe for you, it's a change in how you speak about things. Speak about people. Speak to people. Maybe it's a change for how you approach things. Whatever it is, listen to it. Be willing to listen to that last 10%. Be willing to listen to those hard words and then learn from it. I'll say this too, though. Don't beat yourself up about it. I think a lot of times we hear something said about us from our enemy that there's some truth for it. There's definitely some truth in it. There's definitely some truth to it. And I think too many times what we do is we hear that and we beat ourselves up about it. We allow it to knock us down. We allow it to knock us over and keep us from moving forward. We still need to listen to it. But the truth is, we need to do something about it instead of letting it cripple us, instead of letting it paralyze us. So don't beat yourself up about it, but learn from it. Learn from your enemies. And the more you learn from them, pretty soon, you'll learn to love them as well. And number three is this, you give to them. Give to your enemies. In order to love your enemies, in order to love those who are hard to love, we need to give to them. Think about it. Have you ever noticed that when you give to something, your heart changes towards that thing? Right? It does something. When you give to it, something happens. Something overtakes us. When we give to that, all of a sudden we become more invested about it. We care more about it. We want to see it succeed. And so there's things that Sarah and I have given to different organizations. Even as a church, there's organizations that we've given to as a church that, man, all of a sudden, I never even knew they existed, but all of a sudden I'm following them. I'm following them on social media. I'm seeing what they're doing in the community. And when I hear good things about it, I celebrate with them. I get excited about it. I want to see them succeed because I'm invested in them, because we gave to them. And the same is true with people. Those people that are hard, those people that are hard to love in our lives, those people that are our enemies in our lives, man, if we give to them, guess what? Our attitude towards them is going to change. And when I say give, it's more than just money. Yeah, you can give them money. Yeah, you can buy them a cup of coffee. You can buy them a meal. You can pay it forward. And if you feel led to do that, yeah, go for it. Go ahead and do that. But it goes beyond money. For some of us, man, we need to give time to these people. These people that we're opposed to or opposed to us, we just need to give time to them. See, we may have a bad taste in our mouth simply because we don't know them, simply because we haven't spent time with them, because we haven't given them time to hear their story. Give time to them. For some, maybe it's just an act of service. And maybe there's something we can do for them. Maybe it's to give them an act of service to help them out in whatever way possible, but be willing to give. For some, we just need to give an act of kindness. Listen, a smile can go a long way. There may be somebody in your workplace, in your office that, man, they haven't liked you for 3 years, and you haven't liked them, but you never talked, and you never look at each other when you walk by. You know what happened if you smiled? It could change that. It could change that relationship. A simple smile could go a long way. A simple wave could go a long way. A simple act of kindness can go a long way. It could be all that's needed just to break that tension. And the truth is, too, there's some of us that we have enemies and we have some people that are opposed to us that it goes a little bit deeper, right? It goes a little bit deeper than just a smile or a wave. For some of us, there's a hurt that we've been holding on to. And for that, we need to give forgiveness. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you need to give forgiveness. You need to let go of what you're holding on to. You need to stop harboring that resentment, right? And just forgive. I'll say this. Forgiveness is an everyday thing because it's so hard. There's times where we need to wake up, maybe even every hour, where we need to forgive and we need to continue to forgive and let go of whatever that thing is that somebody did to us, right? The truth is we've all messed up. The truth is we've all messed up big time and we've experienced forgiveness. And what happens is we give what we receive. And if we think about it, we all received an incredible gift of forgiveness. We received it from Jesus when he died on the cross and was resurrected again. But for many of us, we've held on to it too long. But we are given to it. We are given that forgiveness so that we could give it back out. We receive it so that we could give it back out. So maybe someone in your life, you need to give forgiveness. Maybe you need to give grace to somebody else. Right? Give them something they don't deserve. Give them grace. Give them a second chance. Give them a third chance. Give them a 10th chance. Give them a 44th chance. That doesn't matter. Give them a chance. Give them grace, right? Give them mercy. Instead of giving them what they do deserve, instead of giving them judgment, instead of judging them, maybe actually care for them, right? But give to them. Some people just need an invitation, and they're waiting for us. An invitation is one of the greatest things we can give. Listen, invite someone to church. Listen, there's no better way to show love than showing them the path to Christ. For some of us, we just need to give them an invitation. It starts with a gift. It starts with an invitation. Jesus told us to love our enemies. And he called us to love people when they least expect it and when they least deserve it. And here's why we love them. We don't love them because they love us. We love them because God loves them. And we love them because God loves us and gives us that love to share. Loving Jesus means that we learn to love those we don't want to love. Are you loving those that you don't want to love? Do you love your enemies? And when I say the word love, let me just say this. Forget intentions, right? Forget even emotions when I'm talking about love. But I want to think about your attitude and your actions. If you would step back and you would evaluate your life, what is your attitude and what do your actions say about how you treat and how you feel and how you care about those opposed to you, right? A lot of Christians, in fact, probably a lot of us, we probably say we love our enemies, but our attitudes and our actions show otherwise. See, love isn't just an emotion, but it's a demonstration. And we're called to love and even demonstrate our love to our enemies. Think about it. This week, what are some practical ways? What are some practical ways that you can step outside of your story? What are some practical ways that you can step outside of your narrative and into someone else's to show them and demonstrate to them the love of God? What are some ways that you can pray for them? What are some ways that you can learn from them? And what are some ways that you can give to them? Think about it right now. Think about that person. We all have a name. We all have a group. We all have something that we thought about when we talked about our enemies, right? Think about that person right now. Now think about God's action towards them. Think about God's attitude towards them. Think about God's heart towards them. The truth is, it's the same heart, it's the same attitude, and it's the same action that God has towards you. It's a heart of love. It's an attitude of love, and it's backed by action. In fact, Romans 5:8 says this. It says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Chances are that enemy, that person who you're opposed to, chances are you view them as a sinner. But guess what? Christ died while we're still sinners. Christ still died for them in this moment. He lived a perfect life, not because we live a perfect life. He lived a perfect life because we couldn't. And he died on a cross for us because of our imperfections, no matter who we are. Love your enemies. As we close today, I want you to pull out your response card in the seat back in front of you. Maybe you're here today, and maybe as you heard that last verse, maybe you've been coming to church for a while, maybe this is your first time, but you're thinking like, you know what? I've never really become a follower of Christ because I'm trying to get my life straight, been trying to fix a couple things. Listen, Christ died while we're still sinners. There's nothing you can do to gain his love. He's already given it to you. You just have to accept it. So if you're here today, and maybe you've never accepted that, maybe you've never committed to Christ, I want to give you that opportunity. On that response card, on that first box, it says, I want to make a commitment to follow Christ. I want to challenge you to check mark that box. If that's you, check mark that box. And then receive his love. Receive his forgiveness. Receive him into your life and accept him into your life and follow him. Maybe here today, and maybe you see that. Maybe you see how God's loved. And maybe for you, maybe it's almost really put things in perspective of how you're loving others. Maybe for you, you need to love your enemies. Maybe God's calling you to pray for your enemies. Maybe God's calling you to learn from them. Maybe God's calling you to give to them. Whatever it is, I'll challenge you to write that down. Whatever God's telling you to do, challenge you to write it down. And then live it out. There's also a place for prayer requests as well. If you would take this moment to fill this response card out. If you're a first-time guest here, we'd ask you to fill it out completely so that we can partner with you. If you've been here before and filled it out before, just put your first name on there and know that we'll be praying with you throughout this week. If you would take this moment to fill that response card out and get any tithes or offering.
Father's heart, the mystery he lavishes on us, as deep cries out to deep, how desperately he wants us. The things of the earth stand next to him like a candle in the sun. Unfailing Father, what compares to his great love?
Yes, would please come forward. Dearly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you that your love was given to us even when we are sinners. And God, I pray that because of that, we're changed. And I pray that we're changed in so many different ways. But I pray that we're changed in the way that we give out love as well. I pray that we can We can love our enemies. We can love those that are opposed to us, and we can love those that we were once opposed to. God, we thank you for your power, God. We thank you for the power of Jesus' name. God, we thank you for that. God, let us walk away different because of him. God, we also thank you for this time to be a steward of what you've entrusted us with. And God, we pray that this offering will be multiplied so that others can experience life change, so that others can experience a growing relationship with you. And God, we give it to you right now as an act of worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the offering ushers pass the buckets, I want to just thank you again for being faithful in your giving. Because of your giving, God's done some incredible things within this church, but also outside the walls of this church. We support different ministries and different missionaries, and one of the missionaries that we support is a missionary on the campus of Ohio State University, a guy named Guy Deal. He actually has a mission ministry that ministers to those who are intercultural studies students that come from different countries. And what's cool is this, is they come from different countries, they're seeking for community, and what they find is they find community in Christ. And it's amazing when that happens, right? Because that's what it's all about. It's about building community in Christ. So your faithful giving has allowed that to happen. I just want to thank you for that as well. Listen, as we go back into this time of worship too, I want to challenge you. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you just need a touch from God. Maybe you just need to experience more of his love. I would say this on this last song. We will open up the front. If you want to come up here and just, you want to pray at the front, and you want to pray by yourself, I would say you can go to the side that's where the cross is. If you want somebody to pray with you, though, you can come over to this side, and then I'll be willing to pray with you as well. But on this last song, I challenge you. If that's where you just want to touch God, you want to experience more of his love, feel free to come.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening, and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening, and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.